And also, will you turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 17? 2 Chronicles 6, verse 8 first, or verse 7 first, and then 1 Chronicles 17, and we'll read a couple of verses there. 2 Chronicles 6 from verse 7 first. Solomon's speech at the dedication of the temple. Now it was in the heart of David my father to build an house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. But the Lord said to David my father, For as much as it was in thine heart to build an house for my name, thou didst well in that it was in thine heart. Notwithstanding, thou shalt not build the house, but thy son, which shall come forth out of thy loins, he shall build the house for my name. The Lord therefore hath performed his word that he hath spoken. For I am risen up in the room of David my father, and am set on the throne of Israel, as the Lord promised, and have built the house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. And in it have I put the ark, wherein is the covenant of the Lord that he made with the children of Israel. Back to 1 Chronicles 17, verse 18. What can David speak more to thee for the honour of thy servant? For thou knowest thy servant. O Lord, for thy servant's sake, and according to thine own heart, hast thou done all this greatness in making known all these great things. And then on to verse 25 of that same chapter, 1 Chronicles 17:25. For thou, O my God, hast told thy servant that thou wilt build him an house. Therefore thy servant hath found in his heart to pray before thee. You may have noticed a word that is common to these three readings, and it is the word heart. In 2 Chronicles 6 verse 8, the Lord said to David, For as much as it was in thine heart to build an house for my name, thou didst well in that it was in thine heart. So the first is David's heart, a desire to build the temple for the Lord. The second is God's heart. 1 Chronicles 17, verse 19. David says, For thy servant's sake and according to thine own heart hast thou done all this greatness in making known all these great things. That it wouldn't be David, but Solomon who would build the house, and so on. And then thirdly, God's heart again, verse 25, 1 Chronicles 17. For thou, O my God, says David, hast told thy servant that thou wilt build him an house. Therefore thy servant hath found in his heart to pray before thee. So David's heart in the first instance, desire to build the temple. God's heart, according to thine own heart thou hast done this greatness. Thirdly, David's heart, verse 25. Therefore thy servant hath found in his heart to pray before thee. Well, this then amounts to what we might call real heart-to-heart fellowship that David has with the Lord. David's heart to build the temple, which the Lord acknowledges. The Lord's heart in giving David something better than that privilege. And thirdly, David's heart of response in prayer. Therefore thy servant hath found in his heart to pray before thee. This is heart religion, which is real religion, and the only religion that there is, that is true. And it will be profitable for us this evening if we look at these three things together and see what they say to our hearts in these things. Now, it was all about David being concerned to provide a fitting place for the Ark of the Covenant, the visible symbol of God's presence with Israel. In other words, he wanted to build a house for the Lord, a temple in which this ark could be permanently placed. At the moment, it is in Jerusalem, chapter 6, verse 1. They brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it, and they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God. But think about this, it's really only a lowly place for the ark of the Lord to reside, and the Lord who dwells between the cherubims. And David is exercised about this. Chapter 17, verse 1. He says to Nathan the prophet, "Lo, I dwell in an house of cedars, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord remaineth under curtains." And he sees that this is altogether inappropriate. He, a mere human king, has this great palace to live in, and the King of heaven and earth, the Lord God of Israel, dwelling between the cherubims of the ark, has a mere tent in Jerusalem in which to reside. And he says this is not right. And so, of course, verse 2, chapter 17, Nathan says to David, "Do all that is in thine heart, for God is with thee." Nathan recommends that David do all that his heart is leading him to do. Nathan knows that David wants to furnish something really splendid and appropriate for the ark to dwell in, the house of the Lord. However, the Lord intervenes with a message, doesn't he? Verse 4, 1 Chronicles 17. "Go and tell David my servant, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not build me an house to dwell in, for I have not dwelt in an house since the day that I brought up Israel unto this day. But I have gone from tent to tent, and from one tabernacle to another. Wheresoever I have walked with all Israel, spake I a word to any of the judges, saying, why have ye not built me an house?" And so on. So this was not for David to do. We know from other places that the Lord says that this is not the calling of David to build the temple. He's a man who has fought the Lord's battles, killed the Lord's enemies, blood is on his hands, and therefore he can't be charged with this great task of building a house for the Lord. That was not his calling. It was to bring peace to Israel and establish the nation under God. And it reminds us, doesn't it, that because something for God that we might like to do seems right, it doesn't mean to say it is right. David's heart went after this great task, and Nathan at first thought, surely this must be the Lord's will, and he told David to get on with it. And then the Lord intervened and said, no, not for David. And so you see, you need more than just the appearance of something being right. Before you can be sure it is right, you need the will of God, don't you? And express sanction from the Lord. Nevertheless, the Lord promises David that he will do something for him instead. He will build David a house. In other words, a dynasty of kings. Verse 11, 1 Chronicles 17. "It shall come to pass, when thy days be expired, that thou must go to be with thy fathers, that I will raise up thy seed after thee, which shall be of thy sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build me an house, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father, he shall be my son, and I will not take my mercy from him, as I took it from him that was before thee, but settle him in mine house and my kingdom, and his throne shall be established for evermore." And of course, this wonderful promise was fulfilled in Solomon, wasn't it? Solomon came after David. He built the temple of the Lord, the man of peace. But then all the kings of Judah afterwards, so the Lord built David a house, a great royal line of kings, all the way down, of course, to our Lord Jesus himself, and all the way on to all who are kings and priests unto God, Christians today. So this news, therefore, staggers and overwhelms David. Verse 16, "David the king came and sat before the Lord and said, 'Who am I, O Lord God? And what is mine house that thou hast brought me hitherto? And yet this was a small thing in thine eyes. Thou hast spoken of thy servant's house for a great while to come, and hast regarded me according to the estate, according to the estate of a man of high degree. O Lord, what more can I say?'" And so on. And so you see, the Lord would not let David do what he wanted to do, but he promised that he would give David something far better instead. And this is so wonderfully amazing to David. Well, let's put all this together now and look at these three verses and see, first of all, a heart's desire in 2 Chronicles 6, verse 8. And then, secondly, a heart's purpose in 1 Chronicles 17, 19. According to God's heart, he has done all this greatness. And then a heart's response, 1 Chronicles 17, 25. "Therefore thy servant hath found in his heart to pray before thee." A heart's desire, first of all. "The Lord said to David my father, for as much as it was in thine heart to build me an house for my name, thou didst well that it was in thine heart." Now, this is Solomon's speech, as I said, at the dedication of the temple. And it recalls David's original desire and intention to build the house. But it tells us something that we're not told in 1 Chronicles 17, when the Lord intervened to say that this wasn't to be, but that Solomon was to do it, and David would have a dynasty of kings after him. And it's this verse 8, "For as much," or "the Lord said to David my father, for as much as it was in thine heart to build an house for my name, thou didst well in that it was in thine house." Now, that's not actually mentioned in 1 Chronicles 17. And so it tells us something very wonderful. And that is that the Lord made a special point of mentioning this desire of David. And he approves it. And in this heart's desire, it tells us first where sincere desires to please God come from. It was in thine heart. The Lord saw it, and he knew it. And isn't it true, dear friends, that if we love the Lord, we will also love to do certain things for him. It was in thine heart. We would love to do things if we could. Sometimes we won't be permitted, like with David. But that's where it starts, isn't it? The loving desire. to do something. And the Lord is pleased with this. He was pleased with it in the case of David. He saw it there in the man after God's own heart and approved it and delighted in it. For God, concerning David, it was the thought that counts. And it's always the thought that counts, isn't it? Even if we don't actually fulfill it. But because it's a heart thing, the Lord is pleased. We read in Ephesians 3 verse 20 that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And you see, we have dreams sometimes. It's not wrong to have dreams and thoughts and ideas and longings. Some things that might be done for the Lord. Things that we might be privileged to help do for the Lord. Holy ambitions that he might be magnified. Sincere desires, you see, toward him. If we are really exercised believers, our minds will be running along these lines and we'll be thinking about these things. They'll be in our hearts. And God will be pleased with that. But of course, as we know, the lesson is, sometimes we will not be permitted to do these certain things. It was in thine heart, but not in God's permission. And it can be like that, can't it? For God's own reason, as we know, it wasn't for David to build the temple. And we know the reason. It was inappropriate, it wasn't his calling, but another man, Solomon, his son, will be raised up to do it after him. But you see, if he prevents us following through our plans, our heartfelt desires and longings, well, then it won't be just caprice, will it? For no reason at all. It will be because he has his own plans and purposes that are not yet known to us. That's why sometimes providence can seem against us. We would think, wouldn't we, that the Lord would always be with us, that it would be easy to do things, that the way would open up, that it would be nothing to it at all. But sometimes the Lord himself is against us and says no, and we meet with, as it were, a closed door. But we must believe that if it had been the Lord's will, then we would have had our heart's desire granted. But we were not permitted. And sometimes it is like that, and we are disappointed, we are dismayed, and we're forced to rethink and have to feel differently about the thing. But you see, it does remind us who's in charge here. We are not in charge of things. The Lord is over all. And it is his will and his purposes that are supreme in the church. And that's the mistake that Nathan made, wasn't it? Go and do all that is in thine heart, the Lord is with thee. But he was wrong in this instant. But we mustn't think that because we meet with a blank, that somehow the Lord is displeased any more than he was with David. Because you see, the rest of the lesson here in this man's heart's desire was that the Lord was pleased with what David desired. Thou didst well in that it was in thine heart. And you notice the exact words here. It's fascinating, look. Thou didst well in that it was in thine heart. As if David had actually done it, built the temple. He hadn't. But God was so pleased with his desire and ambition that that was a deed that was acceptable to God in the place of actually building the temple. And you see, God accepts the desire in the place of the deed. God will accept the will instead of the accomplishment. So kind is God and so good a master. As Matthew Henry puts it, sincere intentions to do good shall be graciously approved and accepted of God, though providence prevent our putting them in execution. Now that's a very encouraging principle, and you see we can apply it, can't we, to ourselves in certain ways. For instance, you come to your quiet time at the beginning of the day or at a certain point in the day, and you have high hopes, and you prepare yourself, and you really earnestly seek God, and you long that the Lord will draw near to you, and that you'll have a really blessed time in His presence. And what happens? You feel empty, and you feel cold, you feel half dead. You can't seem to make progress in reading. And then you try to pray, and you can't seem to draw near. And no matter how you prayerfully strive and really seek the Lord with all your heart, nothing really happens. You're not warmed, you're not illuminated, you're not drawn out and helped, and you're not blessed at all. And you finish your quiet time, you've done it, but somehow you think, well, what was that worth? But you see, God says to you, thou didst well in that it was in thine heart. And He accepts the will for the deed. And He accepts what you attempted to do in the place of actually accomplishing it. And that's got to be encouraging, hasn't it? Or perhaps you hope for a good day, and you commit your way unto the Lord, and trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass, and you hope that the Lord will come in for you in providence and help you through and make the way. And it seems that everything goes pear-shaped and wrong. And it's a dreadful day. One of those days, perhaps at home, at work, or wherever you are, and multiple things seem to be against you, and you come out of it all, and you really feel as if you've been through the mill spiritually. But was it in your heart to honour God and to seek His presence and that He would be with you? Well, if it was, God says, thou didst well that it was in thine heart. And He accepts your good intentions in the place of your actually realising what you intended. God is like that, you see. Or maybe some service for the Lord. And how we need to apply it to ourselves in this way, don't we? Whatever we do for the Lord, God is so sovereign that it doesn't always go well. We don't always feel helped. And sometimes we feel as if we've made a right mess of it all. And at the end we wonder, really, could the Lord have used that? Will it be of any use to anyone? For His glory. But thou didst well in that it was in thine heart. And God accepts what you sincerely wanted to accomplish as if you had accomplished it, because the will and the desire was there. Or maybe you have some hope concerning the Lord's work. You pray about a certain thing, you hope that something will happen and the Lord will break through. A certain person will turn up and come to church as you hope, that sort of thing. Or that you might prove successful in some witnessing for someone and you're disappointed and it's not happened. And what do you think? Well, instead of being bitterly dismayed and wondering really what's wrong, remember that God can be that sovereign that He can say, thou didst well that you wanted it like that, that it was in your heart. But you see, He has other plans concerning this, but He accepts what you longed for and prayed for, being as good as if it had come to pass. How about 2 Corinthians 11, verse 12? And there, the same principle, but put in a slightly different way. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 12. Here it's the collection for the saints at Jerusalem. And the Apostle Paul wants to encourage the Lord's people at Corinth. Not all of them have got the means to contribute as much as they would like. Their hearts feel for their Jewish converts, Jewish converted people, their brothers and sisters at Jerusalem, and they're suffering great hardship. But those at Corinth would like to give as much as possible and more besides, but only so much according as the Lord has prospered. But look at this. Paul says, if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. You see, if God sees the willingness there, the desire there, that's accepted, even if it's only as much as he has. God doesn't expect someone to give what he doesn't have. The willingness and the little that goes with it is so acceptable to God. We might long to do much more. We might long to give much more. But you see, the willing mind, the heart's desire, according to the little that we might do. And the Lord says, thou didst well that it was in thine heart. See what a good and kind master the Lord is. David is encouraged with that. It's as good for David as if he had built the temple itself, because God approves his heart and accepts his heart's desire as an equivalent and as something in the place of that. Well, that's a heart's desire, and we should remember that, dear friends, in times of discouragement, times of dismay, times when we see things not going the way we would wish, times when we seem to be frustrated, thwarted. The Lord cuts across things. Well, the great thing is, did we want to please and honour God in those things? Well, then God is pleased and honoured. Thou didst well that it was in thine heart. Let's look secondly then, not at a heart's desire, but a heart's purpose. And look back at 1 Chronicles 17 and verse 19. And now see David's prayer in response to God not permitting him to have his way, but promising him a greater thing, a son who will build the temple and the dynasty of kings. O Lord, for thy servant's sake, and according to thine own heart, hast thou done all this greatness in making known all these great things. Now this is how David expresses the blessing in this prayer. And you'll notice his language. This was something that proceeded from God's heart. According to thine own heart, says David. If God withholds, and if God does not permit, and if our heart's desires are not able to be realized, God has formed those purposes in his own heart. And therefore that's love, isn't it? And that's a great comfort. Not a cold, clinical mind that governs God's efficient providence, but according to thine own heart. Oh, there's warmth and affection in all the Lord's dealings with us. It's just like a parent who, appreciating the little toddler's attempts to give him something that would be pleasing, but the toddler topples over maybe, or drops it, or makes a mess of it. But you see, the father thinks, oh well, bless him, but I'll give him something instead and make it really worth his while attempting it, and show how much I love him because he tried to do that for me. And David says, "Oh, the Lord has not permitted me to build the temple, but he's promised me a son to do it, and he's promised me a house to follow for all time to come. Oh, according to thine own heart." Have confidence in the purposes of God, dear friends, that are formed in his heart of love towards us. And you see, in doing so, it's as if God has matched what David had tried to do. David, in his heart, wanted to build him a house, but David says, "According to thine own heart, have you dealt with me like this and done this? It was in my heart to build thee a house, but it was in thy heart to build me a house and give me this greater blessing." Oh, the alternative that God will give, the other thing that God will do instead, will always come, and God will make heart work of it, and we shall not be disappointed. Because what God will bless us with instead, at some time, will be worth having. God's heart purpose in these things. We mustn't listen to the evil one who would tempt us to think that God is so indifferent towards our sincere attempts to serve him, and that really we're fighting almost a losing battle, and that there's an unwilling God who has to be won round, and that we don't really know where we are with him, and that we're more often than not disappointed, and the thing will come to nothing and nothing will come of it. We meet with our hearts, from our heart's desire, we meet God's heart's desire. According to thine own heart. And you notice, won't you, in this verse, that God actually had made known what he was going to do. In making known all these great things. It pleased the Lord to tell David in words. In other words, promise. And that's what Solomon said in 1 Kings 8:15. He said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which spake with his mouth unto David my father, and hath with his hand fulfilled it." You see, Solomon is able to look back at this great speech at the dedication of the temple. The promise the Lord made with his mouth is now fulfilled with his hand in this house being opened and dedicated today. And dear friends, isn't that what the promises of God are? It's not God leaving us in a position whereby we are generally fairly confident that God has good intentions towards us, even though he may not allow us to realize our heart's desire as we wanted. But God goes further than that, and he actually makes promises, doesn't he? Which we're looking at one by one on Lord's Day evenings. And he has made promises, and it's good to get hold of the promises, isn't it? What God has promised, he is also able to perform. And what he speaks with his mouth, he with his hand will fulfill. As the Puritans and others used to say, when we in prayer to God plead his promises and say, "Lord, thou hast said thou wilt do this. Thou hast said thou wilt give me that. Lord, thou hast pledged thy word over this particular matter. Please answer prayer." When we do that and plead the promises, we show God his own handwriting, because he's written them in this book, and giving them back to God in prayer, he sees his own handwriting. And will he deny that he is responsible for saying and writing these things, and therefore not fulfill his word? So you see, the promises, as it were, have God's heart and intentions toward us made known in words, so that we're left in no doubt of the kinds of things he wants to do for us. So let's plead them, and we have a good reason to bind God, if I may put it like that, and keep him to what he's said. And he will gladly do it because he loves to display his great faithfulness. The really what lies behind an encouraged and strengthened Christian life is when we know the promises and when we plead them in prayer to God. And I wonder how many of them we know. It's good, isn't it, to underline them in the scriptures. When we come to them, underline them in red pen. Or even perhaps better than that, make a list of them in a little book or a separate bit of paper. Copy them out, the promises. And then when you feel discouraged or perplexed, disappointed, run down these promises. And it won't be long before you'll come to one that will fit how you are feeling. And you can use that in prayer to God and weave it into your prayer. Because in saying that and causing it to be written, God is committing himself to do that thing for you. And therefore, it's, as it were, binding his heart and securing his loving faithfulness. So, David can speak about God promising according to his own heart. And let's see finally, in verse 25 of 1 Chronicles 17, not a heart's desire or a heart's purpose, but a heart's response. Therefore, thy servant hath found in his heart to pray before thee. You see, it's in connection with, thou hast told thy servant that thou wilt build him an house. And it's interesting the way David puts it. He's saying that it's as if he found gratitude springing up in his heart. And he couldn't help but express it in thanksgiving to God. And you see, when God finds it in his heart to bless us, then we should find it in our hearts to praise him and thank him. That's what David says in Psalm 27 verse 8. My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. And these are among the best prayers we pray, aren't they? When we find certain things in our hearts that just must be expressed in prayer. Sometimes we've got to think, haven't we? Now, what shall I pray about? What and who shall I pray for? And we cover these matters, and that's proper and right. And it's a discipline to do so, isn't it? Especially if we've promised we'll pray for someone. We must do it. But there are other times, aren't there, when the Lord deals with us and we are overcome at times with this sense of what the Lord has done. Some wonderful intervention by him, some answer to prayer, some special blessing, and we find it in our hearts to pray to him. And we don't really need to think what to say then. It's a spontaneous, oh Lord, I thank thee. Oh, blessed be thy name. Oh Lord, I acknowledge thee in this thing. Thou hast helped, thou hast come in for me, thou hast dealt with well with me. My heart says unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. And do we know this kind of thing? It's a very wonderful thing to find that we have a praying heart. It's almost praying on its own. We're being drawn out in response to God. And we find it quite easy to acknowledge him and pray to him and lovingly commune with him at such times. Sometimes too, we shall find that there's a kind of a mysterious dimension to this, finding it in our heart to pray. There are cases where we sometimes feel perhaps particularly burdened to pray about a certain matter. Have you found it?
certain person comes to your mind and you feel strangely moved to pray for that person. You find it in your heart. The name is laid upon your heart. You must pray. Or some other matter, some other thing, and it really is pressing upon your spirit quite keenly. And when that is the case, don't dismiss it. Don't put it off and say, oh, I'll do it another time. Wherever you are, instantly dart up a prayer anyway. Anywhere, Lord, bless so-and-so. Lord, help so-and-so. Do it immediately. Because you see, the Lord stirs up our hearts at certain times to pray. Let me give you an example. Some years ago, when we were in a previous home in Devizes and church, Margaret, one afternoon, heard a fire engine go past the manse. And we hear lots of these days, don't we? It might well have been a bell ringing in those days rather than a klaxon. I don't know, but anyway, it was making a noise and it was rushing toward an emergency incident. And she said that she felt a strange desire to pray for one of our church members. As she heard the fire engine go past, she felt an urge to pray and ask the Lord to bless that fire engine and the incident to which it is going, and use it and make it successful. And it was a strange thing to do, wasn't it? We don't normally pray for emergency service vehicles on their way to something, although perhaps we ought to more. But anyway, she felt moved to do it, and she did it. I thought no more about it. And then afterwards, it turned out that that fire engine was on its way to the home of one of our church members, who was a farmer. And they have this farm with a thatched roof to the house. And there was this haystack quite near the farmhouse, and it had burst into flames, spontaneous combustion, and it was burning away there. And of course, so near the house, the thatched roof, you see. And the fire engine made its way there and put out the fire just in time and so on. But wasn't that remarkable? You see, a name, a concern laid upon the heart that the fire engine might be successful in its purpose, and the Lord did that for the sake of that church member and his family. What the Lord might move you to pray for, but we find it in our heart. Don't dismiss it. If the Lord lays something upon your heart in the prayer meeting, don't dismiss it. Or at any time, because in a strange and mysterious and wonderful way, God accomplishes his purposes through the prayers of his people. And he intends us to pray for the thing that he is intending to do. And if we don't pray, what will happen? Well, it won't be that God won't be able to do it, will he? God won't be frustrated in his design. He'll perhaps lay it upon someone else's heart instead, and that person will have the blessing instead of us. But make sure there's the heart response. Well, David didn't allow himself to be disappointed or feel sullen about this. God's way is best. He never even lived to see that temple built, did he? But he could pray, and he could assemble the materials during his lifetime, and he could encourage Solomon his son for the work. And then, having served his generation, he fell on sleep. And in the 11th year of Solomon's reign, the temple of the Lord was finished and dedicated. And there it was, started in the heart of David, but finished by the hands of Solomon. But David was blessed. for the desire. And David had a great role to play, and David could be more than satisfied with the blessing he had instead. And we can think of the future, dear friends. We might not have our heart's desire. We might not see what we long for in our time. And many of our prayers perhaps will not be answered in this generation. But we'll still pray. We'll still make the preparation. We'll still do our part. And we'll trust God to bless and fulfill his good word. But let's take encouragement, because David was blessed for his heart's desire, and God had heart purposes to fulfill, and David could respond from his heart in joyful thanksgiving and prayer. Well, may the Lord help us to do the same. Let us sing together.